I'm Marco Werman. It's The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Let's go back to Nicaragua in the 1980s. Marxist leader Daniel Ortega was considered a real man of the people. It is a very different Ortega these days. He's the president, and some Nicaraguans are mad at him. Protests have been going on since last week, then a police crackdown leaving some two dozen people dead. And yesterday, President Ortega announced that he will not follow through with the policy change that started the protests in the first place. That all has to do with social security reforms. Frances Robles is a reporter with the New York Times, and she's in Managua following events on the ground there. First of all, Frances, tell us what Ortega was planning to do to Social Security in Nicaragua, this plan that he's since backed off of.
The government had proposed some changes to the Social Security system. They're in really financial straits. And so essentially, they were having people contribute more and retirees were going to receive less. And it served as a detonator. I mean, it just really set people off.
So now that the plan is off the table, are the protests continuing?
The protests are continuing. So the protests start Wednesday, ostensibly about the Social Security issue. And then the police crack down on the protests. The pro-government forces attack the protesters, the students. And so then, really by Thursday even, it really almost had nothing to do with Social Security.
Yeah, so the protesters aren't done. So give us a sense of the scene with those protests. You had pensioners and students protesting. Who else?
Regular people. That was one thing that was really remarkable. So who's kind of leading the banner here? Definitely the students. And then you're seeing just regular residents in the community coming out of their houses with boxes of water, with face masks, with anything to help the students.
You called these protests remarkable, Frances. I mean, there have been protests against the Ortega government before. How are these different?
What feels really different is how many different kinds of people have joined it. You know, so yesterday, as I was driving around Managua, all the supermarkets and major stores had been looted. They were empty. And then the few stores that were not ransacked were being protected by members of the community. And the people in the community were saying, you know, we're here so that the students don't get blamed for looting that they didn't commit. And then you have the major business community. So you have COSEP, which is basically representative of the richest people in Nicaragua. Even they started coming out and supporting the students. You have the Catholic Church coming out and supporting the students. And so Daniel Ortega has control over every institution of the government. But what you see now is that he lost control of the streets.
I mean, the history shows that Ortega is a survivor. He was president in the 80s against strong opposition from the U.S., voted out in 1990, but then came back in 2007. Now, 11 years later, how authoritarian has it become? And does the police crackdown on the protests and yesterday's concession by Ortega suggest his hold on power is weak?
I think it shows that he's scared. I don't know that you would say that he's losing control per se, but there's no question that this is the biggest test of his presidency, of his current presidency.
It sounds like what you're saying, though, Frances, is that if these protests started off about Social Security reforms, it's not that anymore. What is this really about?
It's really the rule of law, justice. You know, in the past, there used to be term limits in Nicaragua. And so Daniel Ortega did a variety of maneuvers to get the constitution changed. And so now there are no term limits. So it's those kinds of things that he has done, of changing electoral law here, changing the constitution there, that people consider illegitimate. And they want a sweeping address of all of that. I think if there was a single demand, I would say a recall referendum. I mean, I don't know that it would ever happen, but I think that that's what they want.
I began by talking about the 1980s when Daniel Ortega first came up. I'm just curious, what does the word Sandinista even mean anymore in Nicaragua? Do people use it?
Oh, sure. I mean, there are people who are members and devout supporters of this party. For many, many years, right-wing neoliberal presidents had control of this country, and they stole money. They spent lavishly on themselves. And so Daniel Ortega, in his leftist, socialist, Sandinista presidency, he maybe did all those things. You know, I'm sure he doesn't live as a pauper, but he remembered to give to these poor people. So if you're a low income person in Nicaragua, and the one guy who gave you a tin roof and a property to your house was Daniel Ortega, who are you going to vote for? And now you're seeing more people sort of switching to the other side, because I think even some of the Sandinistas are against what's happening now.
Francis Robles with the New York Times speaking with us from Managua, Nicaragua. Thank you very much. This is great.
Thanks for having me.
We hear that the U.S. State Department is pulling embassy staff out of Nicaragua as those anti-government protests continue.